supporting WHYY Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at PennMedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
I'm Dan Gottlieb. Thanks for listening, for Voices in the Family. Thanks a lot. It's Thanksgiving week, and I chose this week to transition from weekly shows to biweekly specials because I just have so much to be grateful for and so many people to thank here at the station, but especially you, my listening audience. So this is an open show. Please call about anything that's on your mind. My guest today is my dear friend and colleague, Dr. Jim Coane. He's the guy I wanted here in the studio with me for my final weekly show, for my transitional show. Jim, thanks so much for joining us.
I can't tell you how special that is for me to be that guy in the room with you at this moment.
Our number is 888-477-9499. 888-477-9499. Please call, and please call early in the show. I'd love to hang out with you to hear about what you're grateful for, how and if gratitude has changed your life, and so you can hear some of what I'm grateful for. So, Jim, let's start with transitions. This is a transitional show, and boy, this process has not been easy for me. And do some people transition more easily than others, and why?
Not if they're going to get their money's worth out of the process. You know, this is, doesn't it bother you a little bit that what we were told when we were younger turns out to be true about this stage of life and the sense of loss as enhancing the ability for gratitude, for meaning, for everything that we actually care about, without that sort of painful, poignant process, it just doesn't make any sense.
You know, I often quote Paul Simon in one of his songs, where he says, "The way we look to a distant consolation that's dying in the corner of the sky." Mm. You know, it's like when the light flickers, then you know how precious it is. And, I'm fortunate, really fortunate, that in my life the light has flickered a lot.
Well, you are, for many, many people, the sort of prime example of how to take that tragic, edgy part of the fear of existence and things, bad things happening, and absolutely invert them into opportunity and connection and awareness. Which it's a very, very unusual thing. You know that I used to say to some of my more problematic patients, before they made you, they broke the mold, I would tell them. But you are the new standard for that, Dan. And you know me, I tend not to use nice language, hyperbole, very often.
I know that. Does it hurt, Jim? When you?
Yeah, no, I'm with you. It's kind of, I'm trying it on for size. We'll see how it goes.
You know, several years ago, I met my girlfriend companion Joan at a Starbucks, and it was the 33rd anniversary of my accident, and I was 66 years old, and so it had been half my life. And Joan said to me, "So what's it like?" And I was quiet for a minute, and I just started to cry because when I thought about all the variables it took to get me to that Starbucks, it was millions and millions and millions of variables that got me right there. And I just started to cry with gratitude. I mean, this stuff's a crapshoot, Jim.
Absolutely.
And you think about what got us to this moment and what gets all of you, my listeners, to this moment. How many factors brings you to your life right now? I mean, it's really humbling.
Yeah, at the same time, I think there's something about some of us that have an instinctual awareness of how to make a choice in the moment that makes gets us to the next move. And it's not something you can analyze or figure out most of the time. And, you know, you've talked about this over the years a lot. It is about this vulnerability and capacity to connect. There's a thing called a wingwalker's motto, those old biplanes from World War I. Mm-hmm. And the wingwalker's motto is, because they used to have guys who would walk on them in the air, never let go of one strut before you have the another strut mm-hmm. firmly in hand. And that isn't the way to fly. And that's what you've been really, really good at. Of course, you've been compelled to in some way. And you experience it at a higher level than most of us that are in a lot more denial. And I think that's what gives you that capacity to be flooded with that awareness in the moment.
Well, one of the things that makes this transition so difficult is all of my other transitions were involuntary. Mm. This is the only one it's a major transition in my life, but it's my choice, and right. It was so difficult.
Sure, well, that's kind of what I think we mean by courage, or even faith, which is the ability to act in uncertainty. I would suggest that often what, and I was inaccurate actually a few minutes ago, what looked like compelling choices, they were choices nonetheless. You're a very slick guy, you know. You're capable of riding the wave, thinking it's running you, you know.
You don't call me slick publicly. I could really, I could lose so many friends.
Oh, sorry about that.
Man, if you're just tuning in, this is a very special show for me. It's a transitional show. Today's my last weekly show. We're transitioning to a bi-monthly show, and the first one of those is going to be aired in January. But we're talking today about gratitude, what I'm grateful for, what you're grateful for. So I'd love to hear from you. Our number is 888-477-9499. I'm joined by my dear friend and a very, very skilled psychologist, Dr. Jim Cohen. So let's go right to the phones. We've got Sharon on the line. Hi, Sharon.
Hi, Dr. Dan. I called in to say, see if I can do this without crying. I called in to simply say thank you. I've never called you for any reason out of need, but I've listened to you for the past so many years, and I have a degree in social psychology, but I've spent most of my life in marketing. But I think that one of the things that I'm good at is connecting with people. That's why I was good in marketing. But listening to you and listening you share your wisdom and your strength, I don't think of you having had an accident, I think of you as probably one of the better communicators on many different levels with people, whether it's grief or divorce or struggle in any kind of need. You always sound loving and authoritative and someone whom I can trust. And I am assuming there are thousands of people whom you have helped, so I'm just calling to say thank you.
Sharon, I am loving, and that's what I feel towards you right now. So how fortunate we both are that you and I have both experienced one another's hearts. Thank you, Sharon.
Thank you. Thank you.
You know, both of us are kind of ADD-ish people. And one of the most impressive things about my experience of you is how present you are, which is sort of the opposite of a highly distractible person. And I think that's partly because you're so primarily focused in an empathic mode.
My life depends on it.
I understand.
That's how it feels.
Yeah.
My literal biological life depends on intimate relationships.
Which is different than being hypervigilant and nervous and worried and complaining and
negative. Oh, and that too.
Well, I know. But even that in our private moments, it's been relatively charming. You know.
Yeah, right back at you.
Yeah. And, you know, part of that gratitude goes, of course, both ways. I can speak as a friend, colleague, and someone who knows you in a different way than in the radio, that you don't have to sort of be the sort of so-called active person in the world to be the most reliable person in the world. Mm-hmm. There's a certain energy that shows up that is calming and soothing, and I'm very grateful for that. I'm always, like, calmer and more aware when I even thinking about the show. I have a question for you. Do you find your language changing at this age range about the way you describe what matters to you in a day-to-day sense?
What do you mean? I'm not sure I understand the question.
No, I know. I was thinking about it, anticipating this, and I noticed I use words more like grace, consciousness, attentiveness. I see habits as more sacramental than habitual. Hmm. The little things in life become very, very alive. And I think it's part of the change. Now, I was wondering if you have a similar notion that you're kind of, the way you think about things have shifted a bit.
Perhaps. I'll tell you. I use the L word a lot, and I mean it every time I use it.
Yeah.
Love. And love is habitual also. You know, the more you do it, the easier it is to do. So I find myself spending more time with my heart open, and my experience of aging is one of sadness, not fear, but sadness, you know?
Nope.
So, you know, we talked about transitions. And I'd like to tell you, Jim, you my audience, about something I discovered. So I was leaving the station, it might have been last Monday, maybe the Monday before, and somebody was asking me on my way out, she said, how do you feel about this, like a lot of people do? My answer had always been, you know, nervous and looking forward to it. So she said, what are you nervous about? And for the first time I realized, I said, I've never met the not busy Dan. I've never met him. I don't know. And then a few days later, when I was practicing my meditation, I realized that this Dan that I'm living with now, I feel great compassion for and gratitude. And all the other Dans I've lived with, I feel the same way. And all I have to do to, with that Dan, who, by the way, I'm probably going to meet in a couple hours, to that Dan, is to welcome him with loving, open arms. And that shifted everything.
Yeah, it's great.
I felt more confident.
Yeah, I noticed, this is such an obvious thing, but I was at a workshop where a very interesting therapist was talking, and all he talked about in watching his patients in the process was waiting for an exhale. He just, they go on and on about stuff, the way we do in the office, and then there'd be this moment of the release, and things shifted.
Sure.
And he just said, just watch that. And of course, I knew that, but it was very different, and I suspect the exhale for you is coming.
Yeah.
You know, because you're not ready. I mean, maybe 10 minutes from now you will be. I don't know. But I think watch out for the exhale and see that as a release rather than a loss. It's also a loss, but you know what I mean by that.
Yeah. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Let's go back to the phones, Jim. We've got Barb on the line. Hi, Barb.
Hey, how are you, Dr. Dan?
I have no idea. How about you, Barb?
Well, I will have to echo Sharon's comments on behalf of all of your listeners. Monday is me day, and this is part of me day. It starts with meditation, laughter yoga. I move into lunch and just spend time with myself and with you. And with you. I had the opportunity several years ago to sit at a professional CCADV meeting where you spoke, and it was a life changer for me just to sit at your table with your caregiver and connect with you one-on-one. So I thank you for that. I'm transitioning. My mother died in May. This is the first Thanksgiving. It's the first Christmas. It's the first everything. And so I will go back and listen to your podcast as I get through this difficult period. And I will continue to do that at Monday and as me day. And the thing that I called about was really gratitude journal. Oprah, God bless her, got me to do this years ago. And at the end of each day, I think back and I write down what I am grateful for. And then I have a separate book, and it's Negative Nelly. And those are the things that didn't go right, but perhaps, you know, just getting it out is good, but they don't reside in the same book. And I try to make the gratitude much longer than the Negative Nelly. And I will tell you that if I slip up and I get out of the habit of the gratitude, I can tell. I can absolutely tell. Yeah. I'm a writer. And it's important to write it and to think through it and to process. And I am so grateful for you and for this show.
Oh, Barb, thank you so, so much for what you've said. And who knows, Barb, maybe one day you'll even feel grateful for Negative Nelly as being part of your life.
I like that. Ooh. Barb.
Oh, please take care of you. Please, please.
Food for thought. Thank you. Come see you in Margate.
Good.
Patient once said to me, I think with a lot of insight, complaining is the perk of success. You know, that if you're kind of, if you have a lot of complaints, so to speak, that the normal stuff we complain about, it means you're doing pretty well to like feel free to say it, feel free to experience it, and have a Negative Nelly and kind of like let her handle it. Sure.
We all have Negative Nellies. Yeah. In this course I'm teaching on mindfulness and self-compassion, I mean, we all have that critical judge. And part of the work is being able to make eye contact with your critical judge, sit with him or her, and even find compassion for this critical judge. Really changes everything. Takes a lot off your shoulders. Let's take a short break. If you're just tuning in, we're with my dear friend and colleague Jim Coane. He's a psychologist, and he's got a private practice in Bucks County. If you're lucky enough to get in that practice, you'll be one lucky human. Anyway, we're talking about transitions and gratitude today. My phone number is 888-477-9499. Well, I'm Dan Gottlieb. You're listening to Voices in the Family right here on WHYY FM.
Supporting WHYY, Yampolsky Law PC, a law firm based in Tree Rose, Pennsylvania, focused on transforming conflict through mindful practices of collaborative law, mediation, family law, and labor and employment law. More information at conflicttransformed.com.
The Philadelphia Foundation supports WHYY. The Philadelphia Foundation helps make nonprofits stronger, offering workshops and services designed to increase effectiveness and build the capacity of organizations throughout southeastern Pennsylvania. The Philadelphia Foundation can help you support the organizations you care about today and forever while you receive tax deductions. The Philadelphia Foundation, 215-563-6417 or online at philafound.org.
Supporting WHYY, Universal Pictures presenting Legend, a new film based on the notorious true story of London's most famous gangsters, Ron and Reggie Cray, both portrayed by Tom Hardy, in select theaters.
Mm-hmm.
We are back on Voices in the Family. We're talking about gratitude and transitions on this last weekly show as we transition into a bi-monthly show. I'm joined by psychologist friend Dr. Jim Cohen. I want to share a conversation I had recently with Tara Brach. She's, in my mind, one of the most respected and skilled meditation teachers in the world. She's the author of the international bestseller Radical Acceptance, and her recent book is called Coming Home. Let's listen. Tara, when you were on the show last, it was around your book True Refuge, where you talked about how you discovered you had a genetic disease that affects the connective tissues in your body. How are you feeling?
I'm much, much better. I actually have recovered a lot of my capacities, and I know that any moment things go, so I'm living in both worlds.
Explain yourself. Why are you much, much better?
I think that it's a combination, Dan. I did some very healthy things. I got into doing more Qigong and slowing down and pausing and listening more deeply, and I tried out some different alternative techniques. And so for whatever reason, that downward spiral stopped doing its thing. I still have a lot of rounds of hurting myself and having to stop activity and so on. But now what happens is much more quickly, it doesn't matter so much what I'm doing anymore, because my capacity to enjoy or appreciate or find beauty is just more in the small things, the simple things, than it used to be. So I used to have to, you know, run the 3 miles and have the hour sitting absolutely still, and then I'd feel certain body-mind states. And now if I can't do what I wanted to do, I can look at the fern that's hanging in my room and see the intricacy and really delight in it. So I'm very fortunate like that. And I know it, and it's, and on many moments I won't, that's not actually how I'm feeling. I can get, you know, feeling resentful and, you know, clenching my fist at the heavens. But deep down, it really doesn't matter so much. There's a sense of loving this living, dying world no matter what.
You know, Tara Sartre said you should live with death on your shoulder. And, you know, I do, and I have been since my accident 36 years ago now. But, you know, I feel life on the other shoulder. And between the two, it's vibrant and it's really precious. I mean, talk about gratitude. I am so grateful to have this life, to be alive after all these years, knowing that, you know, looking into the future, it's, who knows?
That's a transmission, Dan, and you've inspired me on that one many rounds. And what's coming more and more clear to me is that my capacity to truly love is totally, totally linked with my realization of dying. I was walking this morning, and it was kind of an overcast morning, and my mind went, well, I think I'll do the walk a little faster, and I won't stop on my, I have a little bridge over a stream I often stop at, because it's not such a pretty day. And then I completely stopped, like I completely paused, and I said, wait a minute, am I always going to be waiting for it to be just so? And in that pause, Dan, it was like, It was the first moment of my life and the last moment of my life. It was like everything was exquisite and totally perfect. And I realized how many moments there's an overcast of my ideas about how it should be. So one of my inner practices is to approach anything I'm doing as if this is the very last time or this is the very first time.
Changing gears a little bit,
yeah.
Tara.
Yeah.
Over these last 30 years, how has your work changed you?
I've stayed with vulnerability enough that there's just more tenderness here, more kind. I think, you know, it's just that kind of rubbing down of the edges and more tenderness and more self-honesty. It's just
so clear that there's less suffering the more I can be utterly real with what's going on with myself. Just name it and feel it and be with it.
What do you mean, name it, feel it, and be with it?
Well, stuff that goes on inside me, I don't like sometimes. The ideas I have about other people, small-mindedness, pettiness, jealousy, comparing, striving, aggressiveness, the stuff I don't like. And so the more I just say, okay, this energy's here, and really admit it. And sometimes I'll exaggerate it just to, like, let it, like, it's okay, it's here. Because in those moments that I'm really honest, it's so clear that it doesn't define me. But if I'm not honest and I kind of shirk away from what I don't like, it actually is really sticky. And my sense of my who I am congeals around that unlike, unwanted part. So more and more what's happened over the years is there's a deep recognition that I'm not that self in the story that I have been running all these years. That's just not who I am. And that gives a lot of freedom.
You know, you talked about the edges get softer over 30 years. I had a handyman many, many years ago, and he and I got to talking, and, you know, he just looked skyward, and he said at one point, he said, "You know, Dan," he said, "I think we're born square and we die round." That kind of says everything, doesn't it?
That's gorgeous. Yeah, and, I love it.
But that's what life does, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, one teacher, one Tibetan teacher, says that our whole path is meeting our edge and softening. And it feels like that, too. It's similar that, you know, we just keep encountering the conditioning that's not so comfortable and get the knack of just kind of loosening and softening and allowing. And stuff moves through much easier that way.
That was meditation teacher Tara Brach talking about her life and how she manages her life. Jim, any reaction to what you heard from Tara?
One of the things I thought about as listening, a lot of things, but one occurred to me is that how many people live their life waiting for this particular shoe to drop, which is to find out that they're not loved. And they keep waiting for that as a truth to surface. So a lot of what people do, we all do, is protect ourselves from this fear. That it's one thing to be afraid of dying. We clearly are all afraid. But I think we're afraid of being invisible and not mattering, or worse. And so one of the things I really find remarkable in your practice, the way you became the man you are, is that you affirm that all the time as not just a protection for yourself to make sure that you know it and they know it, but to sort of, like a cross against the vampires, send that fear away. It's just a waste of time.
You know, there's a line in a poem by Rilke I quote often, and it goes, "I am too small in this world and not small enough to make every moment holy." Mm. But all of us have had the experience of awe. You know, your jaw drops and you suck up your breath. Mm. And that's the experience of being small enough, because that moment's holy. And all of a sudden there's no ego, there's no you. It's just your being experiencing awe.
And I think it drives us to share, because the only thing that's just as important as the experience of awe is being able to say to someone else, "Look at that," or "Experience that. Let's do that together." And human beings are so great, and a lot of other creatures are, of wanting to do it together.
Right. Yeah. Right. Let's go back to the phones. We've got Sharon on the line from Wayne. Hi, Sharon.
Yes, hello.
Hi.
I love gratitude. I've spent 40 years in the healthcare field, being a patient advocate starting at 18. And I loved my work, and I believe that I was always appreciated.
Sharon, I hate to interrupt you, but we're having trouble with the connection here.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, yeah. Go on.
Anyway, I'll just sum it up. I was a nurse for 40 years. I mean, starting out as a nursing assistant and an LPN and an RN, and went back to school again. I was an advocate, patient advocate. I would not go along with any institution that wanted to put money before patient care. And I was also a social activist, concerned about, people all over the world, and sure, not just in my own country. I came from poverty in Western Pennsylvania. I've lived a life like Francis Marlapay. I died for a small planet and lived simply so others can simply live.
So,
despite all that, I am left with abuse, abandonment, and humiliation. I'm one of a half a million people in the country that's homeless. I've been battered by the police in Delaware County. I've been humiliated. I'm living out of my car. There is no therapy available to anybody in this country except for people like you.
Well, Sharon,
so your gratitude is easy to have, and I respect you. I've listened to you for many years as a visiting nurse, but the Reeves, the quadriplegic.
Well, let's Sharon, you know what I'd really like
Nervous Nelly is a sexist statement.
Sharon, we're going to have to go because the connection's not good. I do want to take your phone number down, and I'm going to give you a call and see what you need and see if we together can find some resources for you. I want to thank you, Sharon, for calling the show and for sharing your story. I'm so sorry to hear what you're going through.
You know, Jim? I think it's important that even in the emotional space that Sharon's in, understandably, for us to not give the false impression that gratitude is the same thing as everything's fine.
Right.
Gratitude is a kind of flexible attitude in the moment, so it can be over very little things. It's the way Viktor Frankl wrote about the Holocaust and the kinds of people who survived that. So the pain part of her experience is not meant to be glossed over by anything we're saying.
No. We can, and we find well-being, more likely to find well-being and happiness when we lower the bar of what we're grateful for. When I was in South Africa, we visited the Kulani School, which I've talked about a lot on the radio. It's a special school for disabled children, and they've got no money. It was all dirt. You know, the whole school, the school was impoverished. The kids were impoverished, and the woman who founded the show, the school, came out of her hut, and she's older. She was overweight. She was bent over. She was in visible pain. Walked with a cane, and she had a big beaming smile on her face. And I said, "You look so happy." She said, "Oh, I am." I said, "What makes you happy?" And she smiled and she said, "As long as my hut is clean, I'm happy."
Yeah.
Imagine having that as your threshold.
I often say to Marty, when I think about myself objectively, I'm appalled. And when I think about myself in the context of everything I know about my life, I'm amazed.
Yeah, exactly. Let's take a short break. We'll come back. We have a lot of callers, and I sure want to spend time with them. We're talking with Dr. Jim Cohen, psychologist in Bucks County, and we're talking about gratitude right before Thanksgiving here, what we're all grateful for, and how grateful I am as I come to the last 20 minutes of my final weekly show before we go to bi-monthly shows. Our number is 888-477-9499. I'll hang out with you some more in 60 seconds. I'm Dan Gottlieb. You're listening to Voices in the Family right here on WHYY-FM.
Wood Services proudly supports WHYY. Since 1913, Wood Services has helped change the lives of children and adults with special needs, like Maddie.
Arriving at the age of 15, Maddie had access to the meaningful care and life-altering supports that Woods provides to individuals on the autism spectrum who deal with frequent angry outbursts. 2 years later, Maddie is bringing joy to her family and those around her. Woods helps people with special needs achieve success. Learn more at woods.org. Woods Services. Exceptional people. Fulfilling lives.
Karen Treatment Center supports WHYY. Addiction can test a family strength. When someone you love is struggling with addiction, you struggle too. Karen can help restore peace in your family. For more than 60 years, Karen has worked in the field of addiction treatment and behavioral health care, helping to restore the lives of thousands of patients and their families. Karen will help you take the next step. A confidential and no-obligation assessment is available at 855-894-4325 or at caron.org.
We're back on Voices in the Family. I'm Dan Gottlieb, your host. We're joined with by Dr. Jim Cohen. And today's a day of celebration and transition. So I invite you to call, hang out with us at 888-477-9499. Jim, let's spend some time with our listeners. We'll go right to the phone. We've got Dave on the line from Doylestown. Hey, Dave.
Hi, Dr. Dan. It took me by surprise. I'm grateful, among many things, for you, for your kindness, for your empathy, which I understand is hard won, but also for your brilliance. I had polio at the age of 2. And I spent a year or more away from my family in the home of the merciful Savior. So because of that, I in my own pop psychology way, I think I give up easily. I feel, and maybe I give up because I can give up. I don't know.
What do you mean?
I'm sorry. Go on.
What do you mean you can give up?
It's something about hitting bottom. I don't know. I feel sorry for myself. I spent most of my life trying to pretend that there was nothing different about me, but at age 65, it has long caught up with me, and now it seems that I have a habit of not rising to the occasion. There's an anecdote I want to tell you. When I first came across you on the radio years ago now, a long time. I didn't know quite at the very first that that you had been in the horrible accident that you were in, and there was something haunting in your voice that I could not put my finger on until I found out shortly thereafter what had happened to you. So I know we all carry pain and loss and challenges, and yet, you know, we all have to carry some of the water, right? We all have to absorb some of the pain. We all have to have the courage, at least, to take care of ourselves, so that we can
Dave,
take care of others.
Dave, let me interrupt you here. I hear a kind and caring man beating himself up. Today's show is about gratitude. And if you take a look at that body of yours that has worked so hard your whole life to compensate for what's happened to it, that has taken you through day by day, no matter what happens to your body, and no matter what you do to your body, that body carries you. It strives towards life. And the fact that you're able to pick up the phone and experience my care and compassion and experience your gratitude for me That's testament to your body and how much your body wants you to live. And this is a way of your body expressing gratitude, its life force. I urge you, Dave, please take a look at your body and whisper the words, thank you.
Thanks.
Take care of you.
Thank you. You're,
bless
you. You're one of my, I call them approximate heroes because I don't like absolutes.
Perfect. Perfect.
You're definitely in the panoply of beautiful people in the world, and I thank you for being you.
Thank you. Wish I could hug you now. Take care of you, Dave. It breaks my heart, Jim, to watch, to bear witnesses, good people with good hearts beat themselves up like that. I know it's universal.
Right, but I can sort of see where you're going. This is just my perception for a second. Could change.
Am I going to have to pay you for this?
With your insurance, it's no problem. But I can experience it when I'm with you, and I think sometimes friends can see things in people they don't always see in themselves. This is what it's like. I call it becoming a person emeritus. when you let go of like the ambition and the goals and all that, and not completely, but a lot, and then you're just there. So now you're sort of stuck with your responsiveness, and so you need the courage to just. Do that, and that's where you're going. What does that look like? It really is. The devil's in those details, but you're just sort of stuck being you. So,
the great cognitive psychologist, Austin, Brené Brown, who talks about vulnerability and intimacy, she defines the word courage, C-U-R,
with heart, sure.
is heart.
Sure.
So courage is having the ability to speak your truth from your heart. It's like our last caller.
Mm-hmm.
To speak his truth from his heart is courage. And it takes a lot to have that kind of courage. Yeah. Let's go back to the phones. We've got Nancy on the line. Hey, Nancy.
Hello, Dr. Dan. It's a pleasure to talk to you. It's been 31 years, actually, since we talked.
And I remember it like it was yesterday.
I called in a very scared young mother with a child who needed help. And you had the head of urology on from Dr. I think it was Rabinowitz from the Children's Hospital. And we spoke about my son's situation. And it gave me the courage to turn away from bad information and go forward, which actually saved my son's life.
How's he doing now, Nancy?
He's 32, fabulous, a chef, possibly more to my detriment because I received the bounty of his cooking.
Oh. Poor baby.
Yes, I know. you gave courage in your program.
And I don't give courage. I help you find yours.
Well, it helped me.
Good for you.
And I am so eternally grateful for the other messages of love and kindness and gentleness that I hear each week.
As am I grateful for you and all my other listeners. Nancy, take care. And listen, Helen, enjoy the food.
I do.
Yeah,
I bet. Do indeed. Thank you.
Enjoy.
And I wish you luck in your new phase.
Thank you so much. I'll be here. Listen in. I'll be here, and I'm still going to be doing that 5-minute interview with Mike and Scott every Monday at 7:35.
Terrific.
Yeah.
I'll be looking.
All right, Nance. Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Take care of you. Yeah, I don't give anybody anything. It's like I had a...
Do I have to give the gifts back now, then?
Yes. So, you know, I had a sign out. I still do on top of my office door. It says, "Nobody gets to see the wizards, not nobody know how." And it really is the truth, you know?
Of course. Yeah.
Of course. Let's go back to the phones. We've got Sue on the line. Hey, Sue.
Hello, Dr. Gant. How are you today?
I don't know. Call me in a couple hours, I'll tell you. At the moment, I'm happy. And the next moment, I'm going to be crying like a baby. How about you? How are you doing today?
I'm doing good, and I have had your show on from time to time. Don't remember how I found the station, but I've listened to you a lot. And just listening in, I've got to say, boy, you must be a real, true friend. You're going to be missed. Your show, I hear it's your last day, so good luck, and whatever you do, I hope everything will work out for you, and as I started to say, you will be missed, and I'm going to miss hearing you. Oh, my goodness.
Well, you still can. So it's like I said, you're going to hear me every Monday morning at 7:35, and every other month. I think our dates, we're going to try to make our dates the second Monday of every other month, starting in January. So stay tuned.
Oh, so you can have a new show.
Yeah. We're going to be doing specials. We're going to be doing them out in the community. So, you know, stay tuned. And, you know, it's going to be here on our webpage, whyy.org/voices, and on my webpage, too, drdangottlieb.com. So hang out.
Well, good luck with it. And like I said, I wish I could almost meet you in person. You sound like a great person.
Well, come to one of our shows. We'll hang out. We'll hug.
Uh-huh. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you so much. I hope that your day goes good. And hello to your guest. Didn't mean to be rude.
Oh, that's okay. Nobody pays attention to me when Dan's in the room. It's perfectly fine.
Hey, that's... that's just about animal magnetism.
I understand. I defer to your glow.
You and I have gone back many years, and I want to say how grateful I am to you for our friendship, for our arguments that we've had, for your intelligence, for your holding me, you know, and... you know, for your generosity, that not beating me up because I spend so much time with your wife.
Well, I think we both are grateful for my wife. That she's the one that met you and thought you should be the host for this show, and she was producing it. And I met you through her. So she's one of those kinds of people that is one of those catalytic, creates connections to people, and she's very proud that she was smart enough to pick out who you are. And of course, that was based on your vulnerability in large part. She saw this real human being showing up, and it was really very moving for her.
When we did our live show announcing the transition in September, Marty was there along with several of my other producers, and she cried and thanked Larry Roeblings, thanked Mike and Scott, and her words were for taking care of him. Mm-hmm. You know, and there's something about vulnerability that invites compassion. It's almost inevitable. Marty said she fell in love with me, and I fell in love with her when I asked her to zip my coat on a cold winter day. Mm-hmm. So vulnerability is not something to be afraid of. You know, it's something that helps us to love one another. We're hardwired for that. I struggled with what to say as the show winds down, and I just penned a couple thoughts here. You know, we're going to our bi-monthly show in January. The decision to end a weekly show was the most difficult of my life. And it's not about giving up a job. It's not about losing my identity as a, quote, radio host. It's about losing a very intimate and loving relationship. And believe it or not, it's about that loving relationship with the people here at WHYY, but mostly with the audience, with you. And, you know, the love is mutual. So how did it happen? It's easy. It's about compassion and vulnerability, like we've been talking about throughout the show. When I first started doing the show in 1985, I was the only radio psychologist who didn't give people answers. I asked questions. I held them emotionally as they talked about their fears and insecurities, their dreams and their nightmares, and with respect and compassion and love, together we figured out the next steps. Shortly thereafter, I told my audience about my school failures and my shame around that, and they responded with great compassion, and I felt compassion almost through the airwaves. The same thing happened when I talked about my sexual abuse when I was 12 years old, and then my several episodes of clinical depression. The more I shared my vulnerability, the safer I felt, and the more love I experienced. Vulnerability is the only path to intimacy. So as I start planning my first special, I'm going to take this moment to thank you for 30 years of a warm embrace and for giving me the honor of caring so deeply for you. I want to thank you, Jim, for coming out, for being my friend. Follow us on Twitter. We're at Voices in the Fam. Email us at voices@whyy.org. My webpage is drdangottlieb.com. The engineer for today's show has been Adam Staniszewski. Thanks so much, Adam. Elizabeth Perez Luna is our executive producer of audio content. Mike and Scott is our executive producer and one of my dearest friends. Trin Thatch is our intern. Thank you so much. Larry Roebling produces the show. She is one extraordinary producer. What gifts and what a tender, loving heart she has. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Larry. I'm Dan Gottlieb. Have a great week. I'll see you in January.